Well, welcome and good morning. And what a beautiful sound we're hearing from Barb's piano. Thank you so much. We're glad you're here. Our birthdays and announcements this week. Oh, June 28th, Jeff Hansen. 29th, Alyssa Ort. July 1st, Reverend Jim Russell. July 2nd, Jennifer Sigrist. July 3rd, Danielle Grove. July 4th, Logan Bogardis. And July 5th, Chris Hoshkiss. Anniversaries, June 29th, Megan and Greg Bierbauer. June 30th, Jennifer and Joseph Sigrist. July 2nd, Carolyn and Dean Athey. And I know they won't be around because they went up north. We'll go through our call of worship. Oh, yes. Are there any other announcements?
Oh, I have some.
Okay. You go.
Yeah, I just want to invite you to come next Sunday. We are going to celebrate the 250th birthday of our nation, and we will have a special guest preacher, speaker, my brain is blanking now. Is it Robert Shannon? Roger, thank you. Oh, it's a really tough sermon today, and my brain is still juicy from the last one. Anyhow, he will come and he sings old Civil War songs and tells stories and gives history. And his son John usually comes with, and John is a veteran of many tours in the Gulf War. And he also talks about his faith and his journey as a veteran. And so I invite you to come next Sunday and we'll sing wonderful patriotic hymns and enjoy some time together. So bring friends and we'll try something new.
Hey, we already did that a couple weeks ago.
That's true. And we're also going to try something new later this month. I know. July 18th at 4:00 in the afternoon, we will be hosting a gentleman named Brent Vernon, and if you can find him online or on Facebook and listen to his music. He is a Christian singer, songwriter, and he specializes in children's ministry. And he has his friend Sam, who magically talks. Don't want to give away the secret. So Brent and Sam are coming on the 18th at 4:00, and that will be followed at 5:00 by our annual sweet corn feed in the fellowship hall. So a very fun time for families, and then dinner. So I hope to see you then, and I'm really excited about this guy. If you go and listen to his music, really, really sweet stuff. So, yeah, thank you, sorry.
No, that's great. Yes. Mike, next Sunday, men's club Sunday, 8 a.m.
Yep.
Who's cooking?
Dennis
is cooking. And Jean. Well, thank you. But we never get the women never get invited. So, okay. There's always one. Another one from Mike.
We have an enormous amount of packing boxes in one of our rooms back there. They're going to get folded up. They're free for the taking, but they're going to go. So if anyone wants any, another week or this week.
Okay, so if anybody's moving or needs to store things, we have packing boxes at the church, and they will be available until when?
Do you need those for the food pantry still?
I'm not involved, but they're all those ones that have been in there for months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so nice packing boxes or storage boxes, right? And they'll be available until next Sunday? Okay, So we
we're
trying to clean out the Sunday school room so we can get ready for vacation Bible school, right? Okay. So another thing that I was going to tell you about our special puppeteer that's coming, I went out to the internet myself and took a look at some of the things that he does, and you can find him. He has his own website, and it's Brent Vernon, and you can also find him on YouTube. So I would recommend, it's for all ages. So if you have four generations, three generations, two generations, anybody can come. And I just feel from watching what he did that it's going to be very fun and uplifting, and the children will go home and leave with a message, and maybe some of the great-grandpeople will go home with a message too. So, yeah. Yes, Betty. Now, who is this? Say this again.
Carol Simmons, and her mother was Betty.
Okay. So his mother?
His wife.
His wife lived in this area?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the ventriloquist puppeteer's wife lived in this. Gee, tell me, please. Take her a microphone.
Roger Shannon, who is coming to speak on July 5th, his wife is Carol, and her maiden name was Fitzgibbons. She will come as well?
Fitzsimmons.
I need hearing aids, too. Nonetheless, they're not strangers to us. And so please come and hear them.
So that would be really special next Sunday, too. Okay, let's do our, any other announcements? Okay, that we can, you know, follow. Let's do our call to worship.
Please rise.
When our way seems unclear and we are surrounded by loud and conflicting noises, God will provide. When we, like Abraham, are trying to be faithful and seem to have no good choices available to us, God will provide. When we, like Isaac, are led by those we trust into unjust and harmful situations,
God will provide.
Family in Christ, we gather today to worship God, who meets us in places of fear, confusion, and despair.
We gather
together to who provides a way toward abundant life when no way can be found. Thanks be to God. Lord, the hearts of all
turn to
you in hope, and you give them what they need. You open your hand and satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. We too turn to you again, longing to be filled, to eat of the bread of life, to drink from your life-giving streams, to taste your goodness and live. May the time we spend together in your presence nourish our hearts and minds. May it strengthen our relationship with you and renew our commitment to live in this world as your faith disciples. For you alone are God, the source and sustainer of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we'll have the passing of peace. May the peace be with you.
And also with you.
Now say hello to your neighbors.
Oh my goodness.
Lord help us. Lord help us. Oh my God, 467.
You looked at his stuff and you liked it.
Oh, yeah. I've got some. asked him to. You know, like I'm going to put it on my website and then I'm going to encourage other people to, like, especially ones that have kids.
Because it's free. It's free for the library. It's only one time. So
and he's got books and tapes and we have good reinforcement. So I used to do that. Anyway, we got a so I'm writing. Did you get everybody greeted this morning? No, they're not done yet. All right, you may be seated. Everybody turn to your red book, page 467, Trust and Obey.
Friends, you may be seated, and let's take some time to share in our joys and concerns. And a great joy for me was to share in the ladies' salad luncheon last Saturday, where
we raised a little over $5,000.
A little over $5,000 for the Woodward Granger Band on their way to Orlando next year to play at Disney. So. It was wonderful.
It was fun.
Yeah, good salad too. other joys or concerns?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a large joy in our house. My husband was actually able to golf again after 4 months and 3 weeks to the date. So, praise God.
Praise the Lord.
We are a lot happier in our house. And then I also asked for traveling mercies. We're going to be leaving on vacation Tuesday or Wednesday next week for about a week.
Traveling mercies for, repeat it again?
Just for us, for going on vacation.
Oh, for your vacation. Yeah. Well, I praise God that your husband can golf again after 4 months, 3 weeks, so many hours and so many seconds and so many milliseconds. And we pray for your safe vacation.
Thank you.
Yes. Others in the back.
I'd like to ask prayers of comfort. Some good friends of ours lost their only child, their son. He was 47, died of a rare form of lung cancer just this past week. So for Rich and Nancy and their loss.
We pray for Rich and Nancy and the loss of their only son. Oh, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
I think we'll ask for prayers for Pat. Pat and Gail are down in the hospital, and Pat has a lot of back pain, and they're trying to figure out what may be going on with that.
Prayers for Pat and for answers and solutions to that medical problem.
Yeah.
And comfort as well. Others that we're praying for. Oh, all the way on the other side. You're getting your steps, kiddo.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Sharon Lease. She texted me yesterday. I don't have a lot of information, but she's in a lot of pain, and she's considering going to Mayo.
We pray for Pat and Sharon both, who are suffering and in need of healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Well, I ask for prayers for my mom's widower. We finally resolved her estate, and he gets to buy out his half of the house. Pray for me, because I have to help him to curb back his bills so that he can afford a house payment again. But it is a good resolution, finally, that he can stay in his home. So thanks be to God for that. Anyone else today? Let's take some time then to draw our hearts to God in prayer this morning.
Okay, be quiet on the way back as we're praying. Okay, because we're praying.
Gracious and loving God, we come to you today giving thanks for this day, for our friends and neighbors, for our loved ones, for everyone that is on our hearts and minds. We give you thanks for golf and vacations and for the promise of sweet corn, for our children and time to spend with them this summer. Loving God, we lift up those who are hurting in body, mind, or spirit. Especially we pray for Rich and Nancy, who lost their son, and for anyone who has experienced the loss of a child. Loving God, comfort them and surround them with your Holy Spirit. Guide them through this journey of grief and help them to know your constant presence as they experience pain and loss in their hearts. We pray for Pat and for Sharon as they seek answers and solutions for medical concerns. Guide the doctors of the hands and nurses who are caring for them, that they might indeed find ways to remove pain, and ask that your Holy Spirit would comfort them and be near them as they wait. Loving God, we give you thanks for our church, for all of those who have a hand in making it work one day to the next. And we pray as well, loving God, that you would lift up servants among our congregation as we prepare for an exciting summer with new things and old things and vacation Bible school and all kinds of celebrations of your love and the sacrifices that you have made for us. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died to forgive our sins. May we live into the seriousness of that theological notion. May our lives reflect our appreciation and gratitude for your love and for your grace. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if there are any children out there, I couldn't hear them. So maybe they could come up for a brief lesson together. I have a new friend to show you today. Good morning. Do you know this friend? Who is that? Well, yes, if you believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is God in the form of our Savior and Redeemer. What's his name? Jesus, yeah. And do you notice anything about this Jesus? What's wrong with him? Or right with him? It flips. It's kind of squishy. Yeah. You can do all kinds of things with this Jesus. He's flat, like Flat Stanley. We could probably take his picture in lots of places around the church, couldn't we? Like in our Sunday school room or our nursery. And he's got his arms open wide. Why do you think he's got his arms open wide?
Because he wants to hug.
He wants to hug? Yeah. And he wants to show you how much he loves you. Do you ever say that? I love you this much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like this Jesus as well because he's so flexible. This Jesus will bend over backwards and touch his toes. And all kinds of things, just for me and for you. And I like this Jesus because it reminds us of a lot of things. It reminds us that Jesus loves us and died for us on the cross. We can see his arms stretched out for us for our salvation. It reminds us that Jesus is God's Son. And that God gave his only Son so that whoever believes would know eternal life. But it also reminds us of what it means to be church people and to be faithful to God. We're going to hear a scripture today that's pretty challenging and hard to hear. And sometimes we have to bend ourselves in order to try and understand what God is saying to us. And sometimes we have to contort ourselves into positions of prayer and supplication, and we have to bend our ears to listen to God. So I'm going to have to order some of these for you guys because they make great fidgets. You can bend your ears? Great. So we'll listen for God's word, won't we? But thanks be to God for flat and flexible, squishy Jesus here who teaches us some lessons about our faith, right? We love God, and God loves us, and we can be flexible and stretch our ears. So let's pray about that this morning, okay? Can you put your hands together and bow your head and close your eyes? Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus our Savior. Help us to be flexible, and to listen to you as we walk in faith together. Amen. Hey, so good to see you guys. I'll see you at the end of church and you can give me fives, okay? Okay.
Yes, we do. Okay, so let's turn to our Faith We Sing books, and that would be page 2051. I was there to hear your morning cry.
Standing out of reverence for the gospel. And our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 10, verses 40 through 42, which can be found on page 11 in your pew Bible. Hear these words from Matthew. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly, I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of God for all of us, God's people. Thanks be to God. And now I invite you to be seated. And Carol, do you want to read your Genesis that you have printed out?
That's the hard one.
That's okay.
You said you don't.
That's all right. You prepare.
prepared this because, hey, I'm having cataract surgery in another week, and I can barely see the Bible. So this is from the King James Version. It will not go along real well with your Bible, but that's what I had prepared. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went, both of them, together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And then the angel of the Lord called upon him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the land, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered the ram up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
Well, it doesn't matter if that's in the King James Version, the CEB Version, the NRSV. That's a difficult story to hear from the Bible. Yeah, and I was joking at the other church. I follow the UMC Discipleship Lectionary, and they've had this six-week span in the Old Testament. And I thought, well, that's the last time I follow the Old Testament. Goodness gracious. We had a baptism of a small boy at the other church, and you can imagine what people were. But it's a challenging text, isn't it? God asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac, his son, his promise, his future, But God promised Abraham he'd have descendants as many as the stars. He's getting off to a pretty poor start here. But he goes, he doesn't argue with God, and he trusts that somehow God will provide. I have to share with you that this story is very difficult for me to read. And I think it shows all of us that the Bible isn't all rainbows and butterflies and happy things. We know that in the crucifixion of Jesus, but we see that here as well. As a person who has experienced child abuse, this is a very difficult passage of Scripture to share. But I think it's important that we don't explain it away and we don't try to defend God. Instead, let's listen again as we exegete this text and try to hear what are the lessons that the text has for us. So in Hebrew practice, sacrifice was a way that people made offerings to God and showed their commitment. I don't know about you, but it's a little more handy to come to church and leave your lamb at home and just bring a checkbook, right? As opposed to the fatted calf or your cat, I guess, if you don't have anything else to put on the altar. We'd much rather just bring some money, right? As well as our prayers, presents, gifts, service, and witness. But Abraham was willing to offer everything to show his depth of trust in his covenant relationship with God. So even Jewish interpreters approach this with some harshness and with some distance. In the Christian scripture, this is titled The Sacrifice of Isaac. The rabbis have consistently called it the binding of Isaac. And I probably pronounce foreign words wrong because Russian is my second language, but it's called, I think, the Akedah. And that perhaps is more accurate because Isaac was indeed bound, but he was not sacrificed. So thank goodness there was a last minute reprieve and pardon from the governor before the switch was thrown. But the core message here isn't that God is going to hurt you in order to test you. Instead, it's that we can trust God to provide for us, even in impossible situations, when we feel stuck in our lives, when we feel down and out and we believe that there is no way through. We can't see the way forward, but God provides. Sometimes God provides in the form of a ram in the thicket, and sometimes God provides in the form of a friend who just reaches out and says, "What's going on? How can I support you? How can I pray for you?" Sometimes God reaches out with a basket full of food if you're hungry, or a love offering if you're going through hard times. God reaches out in the form of a friend who takes you to AA and keeps you going if that's what you need. So the story begins, after these things, God tested Abraham. And so these things we remember include God's call to Abram to go to a land he had never seen. Leave your home place, pack up your stuff, let's go, Abram. And then eventually God makes a promise to Abraham that he will be the father of a great nation, which seems kind of impossible given his wife Sarai is barren and they're in their like 70s, and when they get to where they're going, they're in their hundreds. So Abram, in the midst of this, tries to solve the problem himself, and we have Ishmael. But at long last, God provides for Abraham and Sarah the impossible birth of a boy they call Laughter, Isaac. And it continues. Abram, at Sarah's insistence, casts out Ishmael, his first son, and his mother with great sorrow. And then God demands this most horrible thing. Take your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on the mountain that I will show you. It's interesting the rabbis imagine the scene and they give us this imagination. God said, take your son. And Abraham, clever man, said, well, I have two sons. He answered him, your only son. He said to him, each is the only son of his mother. God said, the one whom you love. Abraham replied, is there any limit to a father's love? And God answered, Isaac. It's nice to imagine that that conversation happened, and I would guess that many of us have been in that place in our lives of bargaining with God. I remember jumping out of an airplane once and saying, oh God, if I can get to the ground safely, I'll never do this again. And I have never done it again. I don't know if God even paid attention, but I like to think so. But Abram does what God demands, and he sets out on this journey with his son Isaac. He doesn't say much. Actually, neither of them do. And so we're left to imagine, for 3 days of walking, what are these two men thinking about? That's a long journey. And the narrator in the Bible uses repetition to heighten the poignancy of that. The two of them walked together. As the father and the son walked together in silence on the third day, that's chapter 22, verse 6, together in purpose, together in love, the narrator is constantly emphasizing that relationship between those two men, father and son, as if we need to be reminded. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. And Isaac said to his father, my father. And he said, here I am, son. Here I am. It's the same words that Abram used to answer God's call in verse 1. Here I am, Lord. Abram is attentive to God and equally attentive to his beloved son. Here I am. And Isaac says, see, we have fire and we have wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can you imagine Abram's heart at that moment, just torn in two between the love of his son, Laughter, and the love of his God and his desire to be faithful? I think the closest thing I can imagine is, and maybe you can too, if you've ever put your child on an airplane to go to another country, for a trip or a mission trip or to serve in some way, your heart just feels like it's torn in two. So Abraham says, God will see to the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. I imagine tears were welling up in his eyes and those words probably choked out of his dry throat. But they kept on walking together. Whether Isaac knew what was going to happen or not is a matter that the rabbis debate. Perhaps he did not, which makes Abram's pain all that much more acute. But perhaps he did, which makes Isaac, too, an example of faith and obedience. So the two of them continue to walk together, father and son, the son carrying the wood. The first century rabbis, with no connection to Christianity, but an ample experience of Roman executions, said of this detail, Isaac carries the wood for the sacrifice like one who carries his own cross. They reach the place of sacrifice, and Abram builds an altar. And again, as if we need to be reminded, the narrator emphasizes that relationship between father and son. I can imagine the tears coming out of Abraham's confused eyes and heart as he binds his son Isaac. And I can't even say what happens in verses 9 and 10 because it just... But we see him prepare. And at that moment, the Lord calls to him with great urgency, "Abraham, Abraham!" And Abraham replies for that third and final time in the story, "Here I am." I can imagine his tone. Perhaps it is one of unspeakable relief and hope. God has stayed his hand. And the Lord speaks and says, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." Now I know, God says. This story does not subscribe to notions of God's perfect omniscience, the idea that God knows everything. In order for this scripture to have its impact, this is a genuine test. Abraham, just like us, is free to decide how to respond to God. What will he do? He has every right to say, "No, I'm not going to do that." God neither knows nor preordains how Abram will respond. I reckon that it's the same way for us as people of faith. God watches us in our church community as generation after generation passes on the faith to the next, shows that generation what is important, calls that next generation, prayers, presence, gifts, service, and now we want your story too. And there's always that question of God asking, will they sacrifice everything, including their control, in order to follow what I ask of them? Will they sacrifice comfort so that the stranger can be welcomed? Will they sacrifice wealth so that the poor and the needy can be cared for? Will they sacrifice their comfort and their time to go out and visit the prisoner, to go out and pray with the sick? God is asking the same thing of us. And friends, it is not foreordained. God is anxiously and eagerly waiting for us to be like Abraham and to say, "Here we are. Here I am." I like to read this story as God fulfilling God's promise and God providing, because this is a one-time test that God has put on Abraham, and Abraham has risked everything, but so has God. And God wants to know that his servant is faithful. I mean, think about it. God has promised to Abraham and his descendants that they are the means by which God will bless the entire world. And Abraham didn't always prove up to the task, right? Think about the wife-sister charade with Hagar and Ishmael. And now God wants to know, "Abram, are you willing to give up the thing most precious to you for the sake of being faithful to the God who gave him to you in the first place?" I would not want to be in Abraham's shoes. Never, ever, ever. But Abraham passes the test. "Now I know that you fear God," God says, "since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then, as Abraham has told Isaac, God will provide. And God does. They see a ram in the thicket, and that ram takes the place of the beloved son of Abraham. And so Abraham calls that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, on that mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. I don't ever want to have to preach this story ever again. I hope I get to retire before I have to preach this story again. But my friends, it makes its claim upon us. I like to call it the Akedah. That's kind of a fun word, the binding of Isaac. It makes its claim on us, especially as Christians. All that we have, even our own lives and those most dear to us, belong ultimately to God, who gave them to us in the first place. And this story of the binding of Isaac assures us that God will provide and God will be present. And as generations of Christians have interpreted the Old Testament to be something that predicts the coming of Christ, and we can argue about the theological validity of that another time, it foreshadows the story that is the foundation of the Christian faith, the story of the death and resurrection of the beloved Son of not only Abraham, but of David and of God. Not on Mount Moriah, but on Golgotha, the place of the skull where God's Son carried the wood in the form of a cross for his own sacrifice and became the lamb that was slaughtered for the forgiveness of our sins and so that we might have eternal life with God. We cannot read this text or the text of the crucifixion of Jesus and not see that terrible grace and understand that horrible price. To imagine that horrifying beauty, but to understand the mercy and grace and forgiveness of God who opens a door to salvation for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite our ushers now to come and gather our morning tithes, gifts, and offerings.
Thank you.
Faithful provider, we bring our gifts with trembling hands and trusting hearts. Like Abraham on the mountain, we don't always understand the path ahead, but we believe in your promise that you will provide. We offer these gifts not as bargains or sacrifices to earn your love, but as signs of our trust in you. Use them, we pray, to bless others, to meet needs, to heal hearts, to build hope. And as you provide for the world through us, keep us faithful to your calling, even when the way is unclear. May our giving be our "Here I am, ready and willing to serve," in Christ's name. Amen.
We'll sing verses 2 and 4 of hymn 611 today. Now, friends, may God go with you, blessing you with divine provision, making paths where there were none before, and leading you into flourishing in the most impossible of places. May the peace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest in your hearts this day and every day. Amen.